I was 17 when my mother went home to be with the Lord. She passed away from cancer. And her days were cut short, far too short. What the Lord had meant for her life, all the promise and those things, those are, there was a sense of, man, what is, can you back the gain off there, Jeff? I'm going to hurt somebody. There was a sense of loss simply because you could see the promise and the fullness of what God had intended for a life, and then you saw the enemy. Cancer is not from the Lord, y'all. You saw disease come in, which disease is the result of the fall. There would not be disease on humanity if it wasn't for the sin of Adam and Eve. Disease is not from God. Decay and death, these kinds of things, these stings were never to be in humanity. Eternity was supposed to dwell in time from the beginning. This sense of loss that came over us as a family, but me specifically, it left its mark on me. And what I realized is that as I'm progressing through life, I would experience the void of my mom's voice when I needed it. Like I would be moving into a situation and where I used to hear in the back of my mind her cheering me on, or where she would come alongside me and cheer me on, encourage me, strengthen me, whatever, with the word, that voice wasn't present. And I want you to know that what happened in my lifetime, this is the grace of God. It's so wonderful how the Father knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you need, because in those moments, the Lord would either, A, he would let me get a glimpse of eternity, where I get to see that cloud of witnesses, knowing that there's my mom, my chief intercessor up there. You know, same way she was championing my life in prayer while she was living here, she's still championing my life in prayer there. Jesus himself lives to make intercession there in heaven. He is an intercessor, and those who are in the cloud of witnesses, they are cheering you on, they're praying, and they're interceding on your behalf because they can see what the Father's plan is for your life. And those moments, either I would get a glimpse of heaven and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would make up for that lack, or God would bring someone alongside, a motherly type voice, a ministry of that mothering spirit, that heartbeat, through another human being. And where I had a lack, it was made up in the body of Christ. Is anyone alive this morning? I got two text messages this morning, one from Deborah Crone, who was, you know, is Nicole and I have found great healing, and I just love their family, and they've become like a mom and dad to us in terms of just how we've positioned our hearts towards them. And I got a text from her this morning, just, you know, loving on me as I'm wishing her happy Mother's Day. And I got another text message from Cindy Jacobs saying the same thing over us as a family. It's amazing to me that here I lost my natural mother, but the Lord, through the body of Christ, would raise up others to champion that voice. If there is a lack in your life, it will be found in the body of Christ. Jesus will meet your need. But since my wife is sitting there, bottom. However, that's a better one. There you go. However, in order to receive that kind of grace from another person, it requires your heart being positioned correctly. The void in my life, it was interesting because the Holy Spirit began to bring me through the process. The void in my life wasn't actually my mother's voice. The void in my life was a spirit of sonship towards people. While my mother's life and that natural connection, that was cut short, when my heart stopped being willing to receive that kind of love from people, all of a sudden I found the gap where my mom's voice used to be, that now all of a sudden had great pain around it because there was something missing. Are you with me this morning? Okay, y'all are going to be, you're being really quiet. You got to help me out here. When my heart, when the Holy Spirit, when he awakened my heart and he said, son, you need to position your life. It's not that there's not people present in your life who would love to pour into you. It's that you are choosing to be an orphan. You're holding on to loss instead of embracing the family. This isn't just go with mothers. I hope you can see the translation all the way across the board. When there is a gap in your life, when there's loss in your life, when there's brokenness in your life, when maybe mom and dad split up, I don't know what's happened in your life. But when you hold on to that as an identity, it keeps you actually from becoming whole. The Lord's wanting to bring deliverance of that pain, and I do mean deliverance. Pain isn't originated from God, which means it's a work of the devil. And what happens is daimonizomai. This is the Greek word for deliverance. One who has a demon. The word echo, the word daimonizomai, it literally means one who has, one who holds. Not to be possessed by, as if you're out of control, but you are actually the one holding on to the pain. You are the one holding on to the lie, and so it gives demons access to your life. You are the one holding on to unforgiveness. It's not that people actually were so bad that you just can't move past it. It's that you are unwilling to move past it. When there's pain in your life, if you will stop holding on to it, if you will open it up, and if you will allow the Lord to come in, if you'll invite him to come in, he will come and he will take that false identity from you and he will replace it. He'll put the blessing on it. He will create wholeness on it. But the problem is that pain begins to mark us, and so we begin to build our identity around pain. I'm the one with divorced parents. Yeah, you and 50% of the world. That doesn't make you special. Holding on to that pain doesn't make you special. It doesn't single you out. It's you possessing it. It's not that I don't have compassion. I do. But I just know how to get delivered from this stuff. When I remember the moment because I was in a kind of a church environment. It was after service. And there were folks praying for one another. And I was looking around the room. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I need. You know what I need. You know what kind of ministry I could use. And I felt like these two ladies were kind of highlighted to me. And they're kind of mother-type figures. And I went over to them and I said, hey, would you please pray for me? And I said, oh, sure, honey, you know, what can we pray for, whatever. And I said, I have no idea. If I knew what I needed, I didn't need you. Hello? You can go to Burger King and have it your way, but it might not actually be what you need. It's actually a major lesson for your neighbor, the one who's sitting next to you, not for you. You're fine. So I just said, I don't know. Would you just pray for me? And so I remember one of them, her name was Patty. She and this other lady, I don't remember the other one's name, but began to pray for me. And they prayed for me as a mother would pray for a son. And I recognized, oh, that's that kind of mothering spirit. You know, that kind of, I don't know, you just know it when you get around it. And this thing began to well up in me. It was the pain of the loss in my life. Had never been touched before. I frankly just wouldn't let anybody near it. You ever had a cut that gets infected? Seriously, are you alive? Have you ever had a cut that gets infected? Sunburn, anything of y'all walk in absolute divine health. Praise God. Would you please pray for me? That would be great. But when you get a cut and it gets some, you know, it doesn't get cleaned out properly or it just becomes irritated, like you get that red kind of raised area around it, and if it gets a little bit infected there, you Boy, the last thing on earth you want is someone to come up and go, "What's that?" and poke it. What'd you do there? Last thing you want someone to do is poke you in a deep bruise. You know, if you slide into home plate playing softball this summer, you slide into home plate and you get that raspberry. You know the one. Come on, it's a badge of honor for dudes walking around in the summertime, right? We'll even wear extra high shorts just so we can show off that bad boy. Not me. You, not me, no. But you slide into a plate and it tears. It's something so beautiful about baseball turf, right? That it just cleanly takes off the top layer of skin. And so you end up with these raspberry, and if you don't take time to clean it out, if you just leave the gravel in it, some of you are like, "Please stop, please stop." What's amazing about our bodies, I'm listening to the peanut gallery up front here, sorry. What's amazing about our bodies is it will begin to heal itself trying to cover. And if you don't clean it out, I have a friend, he was in an accident where someone had shot a shotgun in the general direction, and one of the lead pellets, hit him in the ear, and it lodged itself in his ear, and he shows it off like a badge of honor. He never had it removed. I'm thinking, dude, it's a lead pellet. It's not exactly like, I knew you were a little bit like Mad Hatter, but there you go. He's showing this thing off, and he's got this lead pellet wedged in his ear, and I'm thinking, why didn't you clean it out? Our bodies will actually cover over, and we attempt to move beyond. We attempt to cover over. Instead of taking the time right there in that moment, it's super painful to try to clean that stuff out, scrape it out, dig the stuff out. You don't want to do it, but your body eventually will cover it over, and if there is foreign stuff in there, and your body scabs over and cleans it out, covers over, but you never manage to actually deal with the root issue, then it gets what we call infected, or it will become very painful, and you will become wound conscious. You'll be the one that nobody can touch their leg. And if you're not careful, you'll actually wear it around as if it's a name tag. Victim. Victim. This happened to me. There's all sorts of pains that come in life. Man, people are going to disappoint you. Anybody found that out? Leaders are going to disappoint you. Pastors, if you've been in the church for any length of time, have disappointed you already. Parents, they cause pain. And there's just a dynamic of relationships in a world that has the monochrome and sin and the choice to do things that are not correct or not helpful or not holy. These kinds of things will cause pain in people's lives, and you'll attempt to just move beyond it because you just ignore it. It's like, just better off just to leave it be. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is it's not actually better off for you just to leave it be. That one of the gifts of God that are in mothers is the ability to bring comfort in the moment where we got to scrub the wound. Unless you have a cold and heartless mother. In some families, I know it's the dad that's the more compassionate one. I can hear my wife saying, "Watch it." So when my children fall down and scrape their knees, then they will come running and Nikki will go to comfort them and they'll go, "Is daddy here?" I think just because I'm the biggest pushover, that's why. I will coddle them and love on them or whatever. But here's the deal. There's something about that mothering heart. There's something about this kind of connection with people that brings comfort so that we can deal with stuff. And friends, you have to deal with stuff. That's a good word right there that everybody was amening, huh? Friends, you have to deal with stuff. Jesus leaves this amazing warning for us when talking about forgiveness. He says, there was a man who owed a debt to a king. It was a large debt. And the king brought him before and said, I need you to repay your debts. And the man fell on his face and said, I have no ability to pay my debt off. Please forgive me. And the king chose to have mercy and wipe the man's account clean, to completely resolve all the debt that this man owed. And it was a large amount of debt. It was something that his life could never repay. But immediately leaving the king's presence, this man goes and he finds a fellow servant. And the fellow servant happened to owe this man 3 months' wages. Now, I want you to think about this because I love how Jesus tells this story because he does not diminish the value of your pain. 3 months' wages is actually a lot. It's actually a lot. He's not going, oh, you owed him $5. A happy meal. No big deal. Just forgive it. That's not what he's saying here. He says, the man goes out and he finds a fellow servant who owed him 3 months' wages and demanded that this other man pay him back. And in that moment, the servant, the fellow servant that owed 3 months' wages said, please have mercy on me. I will pay you back. Just be patient with me. Have mercy on me. But the servant who had been forgiven by the king shook the man and said, no, you must pay me back. I am going to turn you over to the debtor's prison. Now, in that day, if you owed a debt, what they would do is they would just put you in a work camp. They would put you basically in prison. They would sell your children and your wife into prison until it was paid back the debt that you owed. And so the fellow servant grabbed hold of the one who owed him 3 months' wages and put him in prison and said, you are going to stay there until you pay me back everything you owe me. In other words, he had just received mercy for something he never could have paid back. And then he goes, and it's not that it's a small thing, it's actually a big thing, and says, you need to pay me back. And instead of giving mercy, I'm demanding that you pay me back. Make this right. Gets thrown into prison. His fellow servants see what happens. And they go, and somehow word gets back to the king that this man who had been forgiven such a large debt refused to have mercy on a fellow servant and threw him in prison, split up a family, all that kind of stuff. And it was a horrific experience. The king calls that servant back into his presence and says, what have you done? You wicked man. I forgave you this huge debt. Why didn't you forgive the smaller debts? Not that it's tiny. It's not that it's insignificant. It actually cost you. We recognize that. But if you're a subject of this kingdom, the pattern of me forgiving you demands that you forgive others. The king says to the servant who refused to forgive, I am turning you over to tormentors until you pay back all that you owe. Now, pause for a moment. The story is about God and his relationship with humanity. It's about how Jesus paid the price to forgive a debt you would never be able to forgive. And the demand on your life is that you also will forgive people who have hurt you, injured you, caused you problems, all this stuff. You would forgive. When we choose not to forgive, The King of Kings who paid the ultimate price holds your life responsible for it. One passage says that, and Jesus is declaring this, he says, if you will not forgive those who trespass against you, then your sins will not be forgiven either. But Jesus is the merciful one. Jesus is the one who forgave all the trespasses of the world. How could he possibly hold me accountable when he is letting the world off the hook? The king turned over the servant to the tormentors. Now, that word for tormentors, this is not debtor's prison. See, in debtor's prison, what you owed, this debt, you would go and you would work, like a work camp. You would work off the debt, and then your labor would pay back the debt, and then you get out when the debt is paid. When he says, I'm turning you over to the tormentors until you pay back all that you owe, what debt is he talking about? Because he had forgiven the monetary debt. He had forgiven the debt that the man owed the king in the beginning. It's forgiven. That's off the table. What debt does this servant now owe? He owes the debt of mercy. That pain or torment was still allowed to be now in a life because they refused to let go of the pain. Because they refused to forgive the one who hurt them. Because they were holding on to it. Not because it has you, but because you have it. You want to be free this morning? I mean, really free. Like, ain't no chains can hold me down. There is power in the blood. The exercise of that kind of authority comes in a life that chooses to let go of the things, the trespasses that have been aimed at you. People sinned against you, they hurt you, they did you wrong. Mom and dad split up, it caused you pain. Work of the devil or the result of an accident, something tragic happens and someone's taken from you. The work of just this age and the degrading nature of this temporal time has cost you something and has caused great pain in your life. Friends, Jesus wants to take that pain from you, but you have to stop holding on to it. This is not your identity. You have an option, okay? When you choose to hold on, tormentors. I cannot tell you how many folks I minister with, I pray with, I walk with, who there's all sorts of brokenness going on. There's everything from financial debts and brokenness in the way that they're relating to money and business and all that, and there's problems in it, and it's like, I thought the blessing of the Lord was going to be out. Yeah, then you should probably stop doing this. Or in their physical frames, they got sickness going on in their bodies, and they're like, I'm praying to receive and have Jesus' mercy over my life, and I want him to touch and heal me. The problem is they're absolutely bitter. And it has nothing to do with Jesus bringing deliverance in your life. It's that you are actually still holding on to this false identity as if this has marked you. This does not mark you. Man, I am preaching way better than y'all are letting on this morning. Happy Mother's Day. Come on. This is the beauty of the person of the Holy Spirit. This is the beauty of motherhood. This is the beauty of the Spirit that God has put in that vessel. When he took Adam and Eve and he put Adam to sleep, and out of Adam's side, he took everything that is woman. When Adam had Eve come to him, when God brought Eve to him, he said, whoa! Man, whoo!
That's I see me in you. You're flesh of my flesh. You are bone of my bone. I recognize something's missing out of me, and it's all in you. I would love if it was true that you could be the self-made man and you don't need nobody. That'd be awesome. You don't need anybody. You just do it on your own. Oh, yeah, jack of all trades, right? I can build my own house. I can do everything. I can fix everything. Jack of all trades, yes. Master of none. When you have that attitude towards life and you're unable to receive, the problem is this, that God actually took something out of people and put it in others. And you won't be complete until you allow them into your life. But what happens is in life is pain comes and begins to separate people from people. Pain comes, it marks you, you hold on to it, and now you never want to be around that kind of person again. Am I telling your story or what this morning? The beauty of motherhood. The beauty of the picture of the Holy Spirit. So you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That nurturing nature of the Holy Spirit who comforts, who encourages, who strengthens, who it's like a mom cheering you on. Yeah. Nothing quite like it. Yeah. I've told the story in here before, but I'll tell it again just for the purpose of this morning. I was in the eighth grade when I first played football, American football, for my foreign friends in the room. It's the difference between soccer and American football, you know, pads, hitting, tackling, all that, and, you know, and versus European football or whatever. I played soccer my whole upbringing, and my father just begged me, please, just try football one time. And so finally I was convinced. I said, okay, Dad, you know, if you'll stop, if you'll just stop. If we stop having to have this conversation every fall, then I'll try football, right? So I went out for football, and I made the team. It turned out I was the fastest kid on the field. And he must have seen it because, you know, so they would just hand me the ball, and I would outrun everybody. So it was literally, it was like every play that they give me the ball, I'd run a touchdown. Now, this is eighth grade, okay? Difference between eighth grade and, you know, high school football or whatever. So but the pattern kind of continued. Well, it got to be in high school, they would film these games. And my parents would come to the games, and my mother would strategically, one day when I'm in heaven, I'm going to ask her the question, did you do this on purpose? But she would always end up next to the camera. And so when they'd hand me the ball, the noise that was on the field of the tackling and the beauty of football sound would go away into the white noise of, go Jamie, go Jamie, go Jamie, go Jamie, go Jamie. And all you could hear is my mom screaming in the background. And so we would play football on Fridays, and then Mondays is tape day where the whole team comes together and we watch the videotape. So there I am sitting with my buddies, right? I'm trying to be a man, you know. I'm trying to be a stud football player, whatever, you know. And they hit play, and all you can hear is the televisions and, you know, in the early 90s, the speakers can't handle that kind of noise. You know, so it's more like, you know, and because the speaker is getting blown out by my mom screaming into it, go Jamie, go Jamie, go Jamie, go. You know, when she passed away, that voice went away. But you know what is amazing to me is there are moments when I can hear the Holy Spirit echoing my mom's voice when I'm needing that moment. It's her voice. I hear it in the back of my head. I hear the championing, declaration of empowerment, encouragement, strength, and comfort, right? The very gifts of the Holy Spirit nurturing and causing me to step into something fuller. It's because that's the nature of what God put in Eve, to come alongside and to bring a fullness out of what God's doing. That these are partners in ministry, husbands and wives, that you are not independent on your own. You actually need people. There's a fullness that comes when you connect your life with other people. So as much as I would love for you to be the man and not need anybody, you do. You do. But when pain comes, often we end up separating ourselves from the very thing we need. Am I talking to anybody today? Like three of you. Okay. Holy Spirit's here. Holy Spirit's here. I'm gonna do something in a moment. I'm gonna release fresh mercy. I'm gonna do it from an authority point of view. I mean, we're gonna command the mercy of the Lord over your life. Amazing thing about mercy is that if there's stuff, if you're holding on to stuff, see, if I try to come over to your life and I'm trying to pry that sucker out, we get what's called manifestation. If I try to pry, you know, some stronghold out of your life, if you have some sort of afflicting thing, maybe something demonic going on in your life, if there's pain like that where it's attracted critters, and I try to pry it out of your life, guess what we get? You get the manifestation of that. You know, you've seen the movies. We're not going to set up a deliverance tent. Okay, we're not passing the bucket so you can throw up in it. The reason we're not doing that is because there is a ministry of the Holy Spirit that actually brings deliverance through mercy. That if you'll let go, then when the finger of God comes on your life, it doesn't manifest, it just causes this to be gone. I didn't actually try to throw that at you, baby. Yeah, okay. Are you with me this morning? There's something so beautiful in mothers. Moms, thank you for honoring us with your presence this morning. Let me, from a father's point of view, as a pastor, and as a son, say to you that we absolutely need you. We need you to be you. You don't need to dumb it down. We need you to rise up in the glory and the wonder and the authority of who you are as a daughter of the King Most High. Full permission to be you, and we need the ministry that you bring to the body of Christ because of these things. And more. I'm only listing a handful of the stuff. In that same spirit of motherhood this morning, would you just take your hands, just put them before you, okay? We're going to give the Holy Spirit permission to come and to maybe take some stuff away. Yeah. That be okay? Yeah. I know they hurt you. I know pain's come. I want you to see in your hands, if there's brokenness in your body, if there is, whatever that is, what it is that you feel like you're carrying, there's a weight. There's something that's caused problems. There's something that's caused pain. Whatever that is, I want you to put it in your hands. I want you to envision it. I want you to take that thing, and I want you to put it in your hands. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Would you come right now, bring comfort and reassurance? RJ, would you just throw a little bit of soft music on in the background there? Holy Spirit, would you just come right now and bring reassurance? Lord, I pray for that strengthening, the assurance that comes from your presence. Your strength, your confidence. Father in heaven, we come before you and we present to you what it is we've been carrying. Father, we take what's in us, what's caused us pain, these things, Lord, we place them right now. We bring them to you as an offering to give them to you. I want you to do something for me. I want you to ask the Father, Lord, just I want you to say this thing. Let me say it first, and then you can do it on your own here. But this would be what would happen for me as I'm talking about the loss of my mother. Father in heaven, this is the example for you. Father, I come and I bring you the loss of my mom and the pain that that's caused in my life. You know every deficiency. Father, I give this to you today. And then I want you to ask him, Lord, what do you give me in return? I want you to see him coming right now, and it's almost like that thing dissolves into a puff of smoke and it's gone. And he comes and he gives you something in return. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would come. Lord, that you would release your angels right now to minister among us. Lord, we give these things to you this morning. Father, right now, I release fresh mercy. By the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, I declare mercy to you. If you've been holding these things, you need to recognize it's actually sin. You cannot hold these things. You are sinning. By holding on to pain, you are actually keeping something in your possession that belongs to Jesus. He paid for it. That means it's his. And he wants it. Lord, I release mercy this morning. I do not retain your sin. By the blood of Jesus and by the authority of his cross, right now, I declare mercy to you. I do not retain the sin of bitterness. I do not retain the sin of you holding on to that pain that has prevented and separated you from others. I release mercy to you right now. I release mercy over this body right now, covering by the blood of Jesus. Be forgiven. Be forgiven. Now I want you to receive that. Come on. You may even need just to say, I received that this morning. Don't let it be far off from you. Let it take it in. Receive mercy this morning. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority in this place. This authority I stand in is under the name and the banner of Jesus Christ as a Son of God. I command every tormenting thing that has come against this body, the Lord rebuke you. I command every tormenting spirit, every word of affliction, every thing that has caused pain and is afflicting this body, the Lord rebuke you. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. We break off every way that is not leading into the blessing and the peace of God, His shalom. I break off every way from you that was not originated from God, but was originated through the way of pain. In the name of Jesus, we break these things off right now. By the authority of the cross and by the blood of Jesus, we command every afflicting spirit, something that's come against you, even in sickness, even in mindset, even in depression, these things be gone now in Jesus' name. We draw a line in the sand this day and we say, you may not come back. You may not come back. We declare over our families right now a deliverance. We declare over our children that even generational things, bitterness that's passed from one generation to the next through story, through experience, or just spirit, we command every generational sin, those things that have passed from one generation to the next, we cut those off now in Jesus' name by the blood of the Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray right now that your presence would come and that you would fill every void. Come on, would you just receive him this morning? Lord, I receive fresh, your fresh wind. Holy Spirit, would you come right now and fill every void? Some of you are going to feel like someone took your walls down and you're like, whoa, I don't even know what to feel right now. That's because it's freedom. Breathe the fresh air, my friend. Lord, we just release the fresh wind of heaven across minds and hearts today. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you. Like a light that shines in the darkness, like a flame that burns away all that hinders love. Let the fresh baptism of his love come upon you today. Would you look now, look back to heaven, look to see the expression on your father's face. It is bright. It is, his countenance is lifted. There's such joy and release. It's never changed. It was never frowning over you. You just couldn't see it because of that stuff. Lord, I pray for your joy this morning to touch every heart, to fill and to strengthen. Come on, as we're just closing this time, would you stand to your feet right now? Grab the hand of someone that's near you or put a hand on someone's shoulder, whatever's more appropriate. Father, right now, we connect as the body of Christ. We declare grace, grace. Come on, would you just speak that to someone that's near you? Grace to you this morning. Come on, grace, strength to you. What you need, may it be found this day in his body, in his presence. What you need, may it be released to you this day. In the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided for you. He is your provider. And Father, I thank you for that in this place. Now, Lord, in the abundance of your house, in the abundance, Lord, of the company of this host of people and the heavenly host, those who've gone before us, who are interceding over us, who are declaring over us, keep going. Go, go, go. In the words of my mother, go, Jamie, go, Jamie, go. Come on, hear heaven's cry over your life. Be free. Do not allow those sins. Don't allow the chains that so easily entangle you to block your way from running the race that is before you. Let that mother heart come around you and champion you into who you God has called you to be. Abundant grace this morning. Now, Father, I bless your people. Come on, would you just receive a blessing today? I bless your people today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he cause his face, his countenance, his favor to be upon you. The shalom of his presence lift you from your circumstance. Guard your heart and mind. Be delivered of pain. Wholeness and soundness enter into your being. In every area of life, we declare prosperity to your soul. We declare prosperity to your finances, prosperity to your family, prosperity to business, prosperity to every area of your life by the blessing of the Lord. Lord, I declare these things this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And anyone who dared to agree with that stuff said, amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to him this morning?